We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Hey, good morning, family. So, a lot of stuff to go over real quick. One of the main things I think that's apparent at this point is that YouTube is on a witch hunt. You don't know by now, or if you can't tell by now, all your favorite YouTubers are being removed at a rapid rate. And if you're listening to this, you've probably followed my instructions to go ahead and go to my podcast, which is what brought you here. So I'm glad you did, because at some point, my channel will likely be removed also. Therefore, you will not be able to access any videos that I've had or any content or any of the subscribers that I've or that you've been able to maintain a relationship with over the last couple months. How do I feel about the witch hunt? Well, I'll say this, guys. We knew it was coming. And I actually got hit early on, like real early on. Like if you've been following me since the beginning, and you know, like at one point the rate of growth for my channel, the amount of support and the subscribers that were flowing in was just, it was just unbelievable, you know, which I attribute that to a lot of people just waking up. I would go to the analytics in my channel, and the amount of shares at one point was ridiculous. How much my content was being shared. So I can only imagine how many people were being reached, how many people were waking up just from that material. And I get so many messages on my Instagram about how people are just so happy that they were able to find my channel and use it to prepare themselves, to prepare their family members, and also to share with other people that weren't listening to them before. And with that, they were able to, you know, wake people up. So I just feel, you know, it's been a blessing to be able to, you know, help or be of some type of aid to everybody, man. Like, I look at, like, at one point, I was asleep. I was very much asleep, just like any and everybody else. And it was hard for me to fathom some of the things that I'm now able to see, like, visually. Though I had it like in the back of my mind that there was some things going on, some things that didn't make sense, some things that weren't right. And it could have been from my religious background, you know, some of that kind of factored in, because it allowed me to see things that were prophesized, not only prophesized, but things that were, I would say, different. Things that shouldn't be, things that you were told about that you may have turned a blind eye to as a child. And so when I saw these things, it really opened my mind and changed my perspective. just like any other sleeper, I was mystified early on. Mystified. I was in denial. I tried to rationalize the obvious. You know, I would make excuses. It was like I was trying to stay asleep. I really was. But my career path kind of brought me face to face with some of those realities that I could no longer deny. You know, like, if you don't know my particular background, I was into modeling for a good while, a good portion of my life. I actually did music. I was pursuing a career in the entertainment industry from some way or another. I was was an athlete, you know, played college ball and everything. So, like, I had my mind set on what I wanted to do, and that path kind of led me into different roadblocks or different situations, so to speak, that, you know, really started to put things in perspective for me. And you know, like I said, I was into film directing and acting, so I did video broadcasting stuff. I had to take courses and things like that, which I think also ultimately helped me to be able to reach the masses, you know, with some of the stuff I learned, videography and stuff, editing and things like that. Those are things I learned. Those things kind of helped shape me to be able to, you know, be the vlogger or, you know, be the videographer that I've been, to be able to reach you guys. So, you know, I think it was ordained for me to go the path I went and to share the message that I've shared. And I think I'm certain that at one point I was really like the amount of people I was reaching, had YouTube not interfered, I'm pretty certain I would have probably been reaching somewhere around to this point. Well, I would have reached, I would say, you know, it's hard to say for us direct numbers, but I would say I would have reached somewhere around 100 million people by now, because the rate of growth and how often it was being shared, it was only multiplying daily, weekly, monthly. And the number of people that I was reaching, well, the views that I was accumulating was something like 3 or 4 million a month, okay? And that was when I had a very, very low number of subscribers. So once my subscriber base grew, that's when YouTube really started to manipulate my algorithms. They really started to suppress the information. And it still happens today. If you're in some of my premieres, you'll see that I may have 50,000 subscribers left in one of my channels, but they only allow for 260 people to come into the viewing. It's ridiculous. So I said that to say this: the suppression and, you know, the manipulation started with me very, very, very early on. I was able to circumvent the system for a good while. You know, I don't know why I was able to circumvent the system for as long as I was. But I saw a lot of truthers getting tampered with then, and people were warning me, hey, you know, they're going to come for you. You know, they just took what's the name down. They got this person, they got that person. And so I would just, you know, sit back and, you know, continue to do how I was doing. And sure enough, I can almost recall it came directly after a ban. I got a strike. In fact, I want to say it was for something along the lines that was occurring with George Floyd. Like, I pointed out in my George Floyd video how it was staged, how he was part of the Freemasons. I showed all the information, all the detail with it. And immediately, like the video was really, really picking up steam. And immediately they shut me down. They banned me. They blocked the video. Made me take it down, basically. Well, they took it down. They went and snatched it. And that was like the first wake up call. I was banned for like a week. Directly after that, when I came back, I noticed a significant impact in my analytics. You know, obviously they demonetized me and they snatched the analytics and started suppressing my content. And how I knew this, because my premieres initially, when I was, before that occurred, I would easily have 1,500 to 2,000 people in a premiere, you know, which is unheard of, because once you get out of that, once you get out of the premiere, the just the normal viewing rate only doubles and triples and increases by the hour. And I knew right away when they started having me at, like, it would go like to 235, like my premieres. I was like, dang, I can't go over 235. Like, nobody's, they're not, for some reason. Like, no matter how many, like, it could start growing extremely fast, like the viewership in a premiere, and then it will just stop, completely stop 235. You know, I was getting, some of my subs were telling me, hey, I was watching your video, it just went down. Or, hey, I tried to watch your video, it's blocked. Like, I was getting that in the comment section. Like, people were writing this as the videos were airing. So I was able to look into it, and I screenshotted some of it, and I was able to, you know, recognize what was going on. Needless to say, I contacted YouTube, and that was a shit show, because that things only got worse for me. I don't want to harp on that. I mean, obviously it is what it is, but I just kind of wanted to point it out to you guys that the stuff I put out there, like if you just watched my video that I posted last night, then you also realize that what I was showing you is that they run everything. They run everything. And with that being said, you can look no further than your latest news, you know, your entertainment, whatever it is that you do daily. You can see that they're there. You just have to start paying attention. You know, I started paying attention after I had my first run in. I won't say run in, but my first awakening. And I saw one. And I can't say, guys, for certain right now whether it was a good one or a bad one. What I do know is that I saw one. And that one happened to be supposedly on the good side. So, and that's the thing, guys. I'm going to have a podcast on that particular topic. But that's what really woke me up to the existence, you know, to really know that we're not alone. I mean, it started with just recognizing that there was some evil going on, and then ultimately it led up to me realizing that there's people, there's things, so to speak, that do not have our best interest. They may pretend like it, they don't. Okay, they run everything, guys. And after I saw the first one, I started paying very, 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 very close attention. I started watching the news with a different set of eyes. It's like They Live, the video, the movie. If you haven't watched that movie, guys, I encourage you to do so. But I started watching everything with a different set of eyes. It's like you put the sunglasses on and then your mind is open. You're no longer restricted or constricted to the perception that you have of this world. You start to see things completely different. It's like a switch click for me. It's like, wait a minute. What the heck is going on? Because I could never make sense of some of the things that were going on in this world. I had my doubts about 9/11, the wars that we have, the famine in certain countries, starvation, and the children and things. I always had my doubts and my thoughts about these things. Could never make sense of it, you know? Then I would see these celebrities and these wealthy people. I wonder, because for me, I'm like, man, if I had all this money, I would go and I would help these people. I would do so much. I would always think like that. Then I see like Michael Jordan and, you know, and Michael Jackson and, you know, these celebrities, Bill Cosby and, you know, Johnny Depp and, you know, all these famous people. And I wonder, why don't they got a lot of money? That's what I would think. They got a lot of money. They don't share. Like, if a couple of them came together, we get about 15, 20, you know, multi-millionaires together, we could change the world. But for me, it was like I couldn't understand why they wouldn't do more than what they were doing. So it was apparent that something wasn't right as far as their thinking and how they operated. So those were some of the red flags that kind of jumped out at me. I couldn't make sense of some of the stuff that was going on. So once I saw the being or thing, it started to make sense. You know, things started to click. I realized that we weren't in control. You know, I went back to the scripture. Not great with scripture, I'll tell you that. I just remember reading them, you know, and being taught the scriptures as a child. But it would say something along the lines, and you guys may be able to quote me better, but what does it benefit a man to profit the world and lose his soul? And there was another scripture where it talked about how the devil.
This is Net Most Wanted.
If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.
Giving wealth and riches to those that bowed out and worshiped him and all of that. So I started thinking about it and started wondering, why are all these celebrities and things, why are they doing the things that they're doing? Why are they doing things that I knew were evil or satanic, you know, just from my teachings? And it started to become apparent to me that they were obligated to do this. It wasn't a choice. You know, I started to notice that they would change from once they wanted to get into the industry or whatever. Once they got there, they would change. So, stuff that they weren't doing before, they started doing. And it started to make sense. Like, if everybody's doing something and they weren't doing it before, obviously they have to be in some type of club. They gotta be in some type of club. What that club is, I couldn't figure it out. So I had to get in, do my research. And everything started to kind of unfold. You know, everything started to kind of make sense. And I just went further and further down that rabbit hole. I can credit some of my early teachers like William Cooper, Pale White Horse, Ted Gunderson, Phil Snyder, Sophia Smallstrom, Delbert Blair. It's a lengthy list, it really is, but I think all of them are dead. Yeah, all of them are pretty much dead. Alex Collier is still around, from what I understand. I learned a lot from him. Learned a lot from them early on. When I first heard what Alex was saying, don't let me forget Donald Marshall. When I first heard what Alex was saying, I was like, what the heck? Like, I was like, get the heck out of here. Granted, mind you, I heard Alex's message before I ever saw what he was talking about. So initially, I called it a bluff. Now, me and one of my best friends, we always believed in like UFOs and things like that, like visually seeing them, you know, like spacecraft and whatnot. But once I saw the Alex Collier stuff, and I shot it to my boy, it's like, hey man, check this out. Like, we both were already like on the same page about UFOs and things, but he completely like flipped. Like, me and him never have any issue, but he completely like blew it off, you know, talked about how fake it was and how he was on some BS and don't believe that and stuff. Like, that was like the first person I actually tried to wake up. And I didn't know if I couldn't even call them waking them up, because I was just trying to share what I had discovered. And he fought against it. He fought against it like Neo in the Matrix. That's what I can compare it to. So once I saw it, I'm like, man, we've been already knowing about this, that, and the other. All I'm showing you now is that they're here. Like, this is what's going on. And he just couldn't fathom, you know. That was kind of a breaking point between me and him, because we had created a tight bond all our years growing up. Both of us knew there was something more, but I was more curious, I think, because I didn't want to believe it, because the people I idolized and things, I didn't want to connect them or associate them with what was going on. So I had to find the truth, you know. It's like my spirit pushed me to find the truth. But once I brought it to him, he fought against it. And I was like, man, you know, that was my first real run-in. And it's kind of like Roddy Piper and They Live. Like, the only person he knew at the time, once he found out what was happening, he went directly to him, tried to explain, and he fought him. Like, they fought. Like a physical fight, because the guy wanted so hard to not believe what he was saying, or didn't want to listen, didn't want to look at it. He didn't even want to look at it. And that's how a lot of times how our friends, family members, and even strangers is how they act. Same way, you know. And like, that movie is like a freaking transcript biography or documentary rather, of exactly what the heck is going on. And what we do every day, what I do every day, is put this information out, and a lot of you have received it and you've shared it with others, but those others fight you the same way. And the maker of that movie, They Live, knew exactly what would happen when you tried to wake others up. They knew exactly what was going to happen. And it happened, and it's happening. And it's going to continue to happen. I don't know how many of you have actually went out and tried to wake somebody up and showing them information or something, And they just accepted it. And right away, they were like, yeah, wow, yeah, this is exactly what... Guys, it's never happened for me. I've always been met with some type of resistance, some type of ignorance, some type of rebuttal for why this can't happen. The only time that it's went over smoothly is when I've thought that I was introducing it to somebody that was already awake to some degree. Like, those that have had a seed planted, those are people that are somewhat awake. Like, you can water that seed and you can get that flower to blossom. You can get that seed to grow. You know, if you water it, you feed it. And it can take time. It can take years. I didn't wake completely up, guys. Completely. I want to say until probably 2 or 3 years ago. Like I said, when I saw the actual being, that would be 4 years ago now. Yeah. So I didn't wake completely up. Okay, I was partially awake. Now, I won't say I was, like, completely awoke. And everybody has their own journey. They have their own timeline. You know, it's all going to come together for everybody at different times. So you can't expect everybody. Like, what I used to try to do, I would try to pour it on people thick. I would try to pour it on, like, here, take this, listen to this, watch this, see this, look at this, what about that? I would point and direct and get the Bible. I would get the visual aids. I would point to strange phenomenons and, you know, different anomalies and things. I would go out my way to try to paint this picture and jam it down people's throats. Jam it. Guys, that is the worst thing that you can do. What you do, not only do you look like an idiot, but you really can, the message can really be deflected. And it gets to a point where you're no longer trying, you're no longer battling over the message, but you're more so battling over their ignorance and your personal battle between them trying to prove that you're wrong or not even listening to what you're talking about anymore. It goes beyond that at some point. You know, you become somewhat annoying to them trying to force the message to them, to whereas they'll become more resentful of your relationship that you guys have. It can be damaging. So what I've suggested for a lot of my followers is just lightly engage them, okay? When something occurs, and this has worked for me, so I'm telling you guys, when something occurs that you know about, that you have, you know, prior knowledge, then just kind of sprinkle those breadcrumbs. You know, sprinkle the breadcrumbs like, yeah, saw that coming, and yeah, that reminds me of what's his name was talking about. Oh, that connects to that, and just leave it at that. Don't go, oh, this is this and that, and you got to go look at that, man. No, don't do that. Just sprinkle the breadcrumbs. They'll seek you out. They'll seek you out for the information. How do I know this? Because it's happened. This is how I've been able to wake people up, and that is why I put my videos together the way that I have. People always ask, like, why do you use the same clips? Why do you use the same clips? Guys, those are breadcrumbs. You see, that's why my videos are able to reach people the way they are. Because I understand how to captivate people and how to intrigue them. Okay? By putting a little bit out there, you know, then I'll let it settle. They'll start to do their own research. That'll bring them back to you. Then you can engage them a little more. Then let it go. You know, you'll know when the time is right. You'll know when you can fully engage them and share with them everything that it is that you know. If you go too hard too soon or put too much into it, you'll drown them. You know, if you overwater a seed, you'll drown the seed. So it's important that you take this strategy and technique when approaching sheep, okay? Otherwise, you'll run the sheep off. The best way to do is to calmly approach calmly approach those that you would like to advise, to inform, and allow the message to kind of manifest over time, or marinate rather. And with that, you'll see that you'll have some better results when it comes to reaching and getting the point across. But this podcast has already gone longer than I anticipated. I anticipate that the rest of these podcasts moving forward will probably be similar, somewhat the same. So I'm going to end this, guys, right here. And I think the next couple of podcasts are going to be more topic driven as it relates to a specific topic that relates to what the heck is going on. So I will put out, I do plan on putting out another video this weekend, if not by Monday. So stay tuned for that. If you haven't, make sure you go to my last podcast, my last video that I made. That one is the first part of the Evil Games. So the second part will be Evil Games, the Pedophile Connection, the Pedo Connection. But anyways, guys, I appreciate your support. You guys be safe. I'll catch you on the next video, guys.
We've been fighting a long time, and we have all lost so very much, so many loved ones gone. You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We're at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important you are. If you're listening to this, you are the resistance.